Today is Sunday, February 8th, 2015, and this...
Hey, what's up, everybody? We are in Las Vegas.
Las Vegas?
Las Vegas.
This is the perfect place.
Boom, drop it.
I love Vegas.
Vegas is the ultimate party place of the universe.
Tons of people that want to have fun.
There's like a heartbeat. There's like a rhythm.
Is this a dance
and
party?
And Laverne is the best.
Dance party or interview?
I lived in Vegas.
Gambled all this dough where you had to move.
Fun and music.
Of love and sweat and excitement.
Perhaps a cocktail or two worked in.
People come here.
People that want to dance.
Want to have a good time.
To party their asses off.
It is kind of stellar.
It's 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 490.
Las Vegas, Nevada! I'm just thinking of all the amazing times that we've had here in Las Vegas.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
We're gonna give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you dig that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Honey, we're gonna be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Happy to be back behind the microphones, ready to talk about Las Vegas. There's a lot to talk about this week. It's going to be exciting and fun.
Is it?
I think so.
Okay.
So I
just don't want to let anybody down.
Well, I think they're used to it by now. Don't you?
I think so. Oh, speaking of letdowns, I just realized we have 10 shows until the big 500.
I know.
And
nothing's happening for 500, is it?
No. Well, you put all that effort into the 10-year
I know.
Thing.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
I think that's it. So I don't know. Maybe we'll do something, but...
It'll be low-key if we do.
Yeah. Speaking of low expectations, keep the expectations for 500 low, because it's going to be nothing. Maybe we'll get really drunk and... That wouldn't be that exceptional, though. We do that all the time.
But we could.
We haven't done a drunken show in a while.
We haven't.
We've kind of been good about the alcohol thing.
Oh, yeah.
I had my first beer last night since I got back from Vegas. That was 3 weeks.
Uh-huh.
That's
I
a
went
pretty
four.
Good run. For, you went four. That's
yeah.
That's not a bad run.
Yeah. I got my 28-day chip and then went to the bar.
Yeah. All right. So before
it's good to do that every once in a while, though, I think.
Got to dry out.
Yeah.
Especially after a Vegas trip.
Oh, my God.
I didn't even feel like drinking. It wasn't like it was even difficult.
I was just like, nah. It was like, oh, I've had too much of this. My body can't take it. That's kind of how I was after a VIMF.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, Vegas will do that to you every once in a while, depending on the trip. Mm-hmm. I'll come home, have no desire to gamble for a long time, have no desire to drink for a while.
Uh-huh.
You know, sometimes it just... It takes everything out. It's like the fun.
When the fun stops.
All of the amount of fun that you could possibly have is packed into a little bit, and then you just can't handle any more fun for a few days or weeks or whatever. And sometimes it's all the fun, and sometimes it's just certain kinds of fun.
Mm-hmm.
This is my theory that I just came up with now.
Nice.
Yes.
Oh, okay, another theory, as long as we're going on tangents.
Well, it's gonna be one of those
days.
That
was Vegas related. But so we were shopping yesterday, which... Together, which is rare.
For luggage, though, so it is Vegas related.
Yeah. And we were discussing Valentine's Day, and why are fragrances such a big thing for Valentine's Day?
I find that awkward, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You had a couple good observations.
Well, just the whole, it sends such an odd message. Like, it's Valentine's Day, I really love you, but your odor doesn't really please me.
Yeah.
Please
I want
mask,
you to smell like this.
Please mask your natural scent by smelling like Christina Aguilera.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very odd to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
understand that. It confuses me.
I suppose if somebody asks for it or specifically wants that, but if you just give that to somebody unsolicited, it's like, here's a bar of soap. I don't know.
Might want to re-examine your hygiene habits.
Yeah. Yes. I'm glad we don't exchange gifts on Valentine's Day.
I am
so
too.
So I don't have to worry about such things.
Yeah.
Yeah. I assume we're not exchanging gifts.
We're not exchanging gifts.
Wouldn't want to break tradition by starting that.
Well, the nice thing about our relationship is that we have an anniversary that's a few weeks after.
This
so
is
we
true.
Pour all of our energy into that.
Yes, yeah, so we kind of do. Kind of.
Sort of.
By not giving each other any gifts for that either.
Right.
We're not big on the gift thing.
That's okay.
That's fine.
Yeah.
We're both kind of like...
Yeah, like for Christmas, we generally buy something for the house or say, hey, we're
going
to Vegas in a couple months, and that counts as our,
Yeah, it works.
It works.
It seems like we're both pleased with that arrangement.
I am.
I am too. All right. Well, thank you. This has been a wonderful therapy session. Thank you for listening. All right. Should we talk about some actual...
We'll talk about something other than our relationship.
Stuff we planned. Somebody on... I think it was on Twitter that somebody said that we were... That our relationship was an inspiration.
Yeah. It was very kind.
I know.
It was
just, I've heard that a few times. And that's weird to me that people are like...
Not if they listen to the show after you get back from your guy trip, but hey.
That's part of the game, though. Every once in a while, you know, I'm going to do something that irritates you. That happens.
But it makes you happy.
Irritating you? Sometimes it kind of does.
Sometimes it probably does. Sometimes it pleases me to make you uncomfortable.
Yes, you are very good at that. All right. So let's move along because we have a lot of stuff to get to. First, before we get into the news, I want to cover a couple of quick items. One of our favorite Las Vegas websites, at least mine, I think I can speak for you on this as well.
Oh, yeah.
Is called Daily Fiasco. We've mentioned it many times. And unfortunately, that site is in limbo for the time being. And I don't know if it will be as great as it has been. And the reason for that is because Jason, the guy behind that site, the guy who does all of the content for that site, has announced he is moving on to something else. Mm-hmm. Has not yet said what that is. I'm very much hoping that it is some other sort of online venture so we can continue to read his work and his
wit. He's a really good writer.
Super funny, very good writer, entertaining. Most of the daily...
Very apt, very just... Right on observations.
Yeah, and great great references, and mm-hmm. I really like his style. And even though a lot of the Daily Fiasco stuff is more on the nightclub stuff, I'm not necessarily extremely interested in it. He always makes it interesting.
Yeah.
And I love that. And I'm sad that he's no longer with Daily Fiasco, but I'm sure that whatever he does next will be great. So I just wanted to give a shout out to Jason and wish him the best of luck.
Yes.
And hope that we get to continue reading his work elsewhere. I think he's going to continue to still do some work for Vegas 7.
Good.
So that's good. But I think the style that he had going for Daily Fiasco was kind of, you know, it was a certain thing that probably wouldn't work in the same way in Vegas 7. So I hope that he's able to take that elsewhere and do something with it that we can all enjoy.
I just hope he's moving on to bigger and better things.
Yep. So thanks for all the...
entertainment.
Absolutely, entertainment on Daily Fiasco over the years, and we definitely wish you the best of luck.
And it's a lot of work, too.
Absolutely. All right. So another quick note is that there is... If you like to watch Vegas things on TV,
which you do.
Oh, by the way, I'm going to be doing a Vegas movie review later in the show.
Okay.
I watched something yesterday that I think people might be interested in. But if you want to catch some Vegas eye candy on television during the Grammys tonight, if you're listening on the day this posts, which is Sunday, there's going to be a performance live from Fremont East right outside of El Cortez. And it's Imagine Dragons. They're going to be doing a live performance.
You don't like to imagine dragons.
I'd rather imagine a better band performing outside of El Cortez, but some people are into Imagine Dragons. Regardless, I will tune in and watch simply because I like to see Vegas. I'd be watching the Grammys anyway because I like to make fun of everything involving whatever's going to be on the Grammys tonight. I have no idea who's performing. There's a rumor that Prince might do something.
Yes.
Always good for a laugh. I mean, if he's performing, it won't be good for a laugh.
Because he'll kill it. But
if he's just doing a
walk-on like he did for the Golden Globes.
Uncomfortable, awkward. Oh, I love that.
The Golden Globes thing was awesome in so many ways. It was just so very Prince.
There's an added comedy value to Prince since he grew the afro out.
Yeah.
It's just seeing him is funny now. So, yes.
He just has all these affectations like, you need the cane?
Yeah, at least he lost the lollipop. He's not doing that bit anymore.
Right.
Anyway, Imagine Dragons, El Cortez. If you are in Las Vegas, I don't believe this is open to the public. I think they made tickets available through... There are websites where you can get tickets for like TV show filmings.
I bet if you went up to the rooftop of Commonwealth...
Yeah, there might be places where you can get a glimpse of it.
Yeah.
So if you're into that, so be it. But anyway, tune into the Grammys and you can catch that. And I'm sure that if you're hearing this after the Grammys, you can certainly find it online as things tend to turn up on the internet after the fact. I want to clarify something from last week before we get into the new news.
Okay.
Because this is entirely on me. I kind of blew And somebody's going, yes, you did. I kind of blew one of the stories and the whole idea behind it. And that would be the the Planet Hollywood wave thing.
Oh.
The Flow Rider.
Yeah.
It's not an addition to one of their swimming pools that makes it into a wave pool.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, I think so too. It's a separate structure that will be on their pool deck. It's like it's not underwater.
Uh-huh.
So it's not really a wave pool. It's like this. Some people posted, there's some stuff on the Facebook groups. You can find it if you really want to see what it looks like. But it's like some sort of fiberglassy, plasticky sort of structure that has a way, like a hill, a little hill on it, and then water flows really fast over that hill so that people can get on there and pretend it's a wave on their wakeboard, on like a bodyboard thing. So it's like a fake surfing thing, but there's not like deep water or anything. It's like 3 inches of water.
Okay.
That's just like spraying out fast enough to keep them on this hill surfing. And if they fall down, it's on this rubbery surface. So I guess that they're really popular in the places that they've set them up.
Huh.
They'll probably charge for it. That's my guess. At least for hotel guests, they might be charging something anyway, but
is it included in the resort fee?
No, I don't. Well, it might be for guests of the hotel. I don't know, but I'm sure they'll find a way to make money off of it.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, there are no concerns about people banging their heads on the side of the pool and that sort of thing.
Okay.
It's a completely separate structure. So, yep. I should have probably looked up video before we talked about it so I had a better understanding, but I saw it's
way to do your research after the fact.
I know. Well, trust me, plenty of people let me know that I blew this one. So, and I'm all too happy to admit when we got something wrong, and that one we kind of blew. And by we, I mean me. I'm entirely responsible for that one.
Okay.
So there you have it. That's an update on the Planet Hollywood Flow Rider. It's coming sometime this spring. If you're interested in doing some fake surfing, you can do it at Planet Hollywood, I guess.
Once you wipe out, are you done? Or do you have a specific amount of time?
I'm not sure, because I don't know how that works, because I think you can only have one or two people on there at a time. And my understanding is the places where this has previously or currently exists, they definitely do have lines of people waiting.
What's the demographic for this? Is it
younger than us?
Yeah. I wouldn't be so sure.
I would say
there's always that person who's trying to prove that they're really cool to their kids.
Yeah, no, and I think I would say I'm thinking 20s and probably younger.
Yeah.
I would say, maybe even the children will be lined up for this one.
I would think so. I would think it'd be a younger.
Yeah.
Would it be easier or harder to do while intoxicated?
Oh, I think it would be harder to do.
Yeah.
You need some coordination for this kind of thing. Our friend Mikey is into surfing. I'd like to see him on the Planet Hollywood pool deck doing some fake surfing. All right. We have a lot of actual news to talk about this week. New things that have come up, not this fake news, things that we've talked about and screwed up in the past or whatever. But the big item I want to discuss this week, the first thing is a major change in the management at Caesars Entertainment, a company we love to dump on because it's just a freaking mess.
We love to dump on them, yet occasionally we stay at their properties.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's, but, you know, I'm trying to think, are there any strip casino executives that don't have our wrath? I mean, Steve Wynn is easy to make fun of. Mm-hmm. Sheldon Adelson is a doddering old twat. we've got Jim Murren.
Allegedly.
Jim Murren.
Yeah.
Yeah, these are all just opinions. They're not necessarily facts. Jim Murren is laughable. Gary Loveman, who we're about to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Easy for mockery. Phil Ruffin, slumlord Phil Ruffin.
Dude at SLS.
Yeah, see, so.
Yeah. What about the upcoming, we'll probably talk about that later, the Plaza
No, we're not
Elon.
Talking about that this week.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know enough about them.
They
yet.
Don't have our wrath yet.
No. But the long time.
Just give it time.
The long time strip executives are fun to mock, even though, you know.
Yeah, Resorts World, not
they're
yet.
They're making millions of dollars, so who am I to mock them?
Right.
Anyway, Gary Loveman, CEO of Caesars Entertainment for many, many years.
And hair model.
88, I believe, is when he started.
Mm-hmm.
He has announced he's going to be stepping aside as CEO, but not stepping aside altogether. He's remaining with the company. We'll talk about that in a moment. The new CEO is going to be Mark Fazora, who is the former CEO of Hertz, the rental car company. He's going to be taking over as CEO July 1st, but he's joining the company right away so he can begin to learn the business. Mm-hmm. I think it'll take that long just to learn the structure of Caesars Entertainment.
Yes.
Because it's such a mess. Loveman's going to stay on as chairman of the board, and he is going to oversee the bankruptcy proceedings that are happening that he's
responsible for.
Moderately responsible for, although that's the thing. So looking at the first of all, this new CEO, when this was announced, there were several people on our Facebook group who instantly said, hey, I used to work at Hertz. He drove that company, not into the ground, but he was not a good leader.
Oh, that's not
and
good.
And I've read some other things. Like he left under, it wouldn't be questionable circumstances. It was just that his board of directors, who ultimately he reported to, was not happy with his performance. So I don't expect suddenly Caesars to be this perfectly run company.
Yeah.
I don't know why they decided to go with this guy, but I would say a company that's in the shape that Caesars is in right now, there's probably not a lot of demand among like awesome CEOs to jump on board.
Their pool is limited.
I'm thinking the available CEOs are the ones that
the pickings are slim.
Maybe. The Loveman years, I'm not exactly sure. As much as we've mocked that company for the way that it's been run in the last several years and how much debt they've taken on and all those issues, when you look at the whole length of his stint at Caesars, previously Harrah's, when he started, he's responsible for that company really taking off and growing in huge ways. Not only is he responsible for the total rewards, which is really, as far as any sort of customer loyalty program, not just casinos, but any sort of, everybody has customer loyalty programs now, but that one, I think, has done remarkable things as far as tracking the likes and dislikes of customers and all kinds of information that previously wasn't necessarily used for the purposes that they're using it for. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of the loyalty programs, not only in Vegas, but elsewhere, are now modeled after that. So you've got to give him some credit for that. But then in addition, Harrah's was a much smaller company when he started, not just in Las Vegas, but elsewhere. And like I said, this isn't necessarily good for the customers. I'm not saying it's great that suddenly Caesars Entertainment is this gigantic company. But from the company's perspective, you've got to give him some credit.
Yeah, for the expansion.
Ultimately, he's responsible to the board of directors, and they've been happy with him. Mm-hmm. So
Did they expand too much, hence the bankruptcy thing?
Well, yeah, there's certainly that. And the timing, you know, of taking that company private, which is a big part of why it's in such a bad condition right now, the damage that did in Las Vegas isn't unique, and elsewhere in the casino world isn't unique to Caesars Entertainment. I mean, MGM had a pretty rough patch. As a result of that, the Maloofs ended up losing control of Palms because of that. There are stalled projects on the Strip. So certainly, Caesars got hit a lot worse, I think, just because of the size of their of everything with that company. But it certainly wasn't unique to them. So will we miss Gary Loveman? I don't know. I will miss his – well, he's still around. He's going to be chairman, but I think he'll be less visible. Mm-hmm. And he won't be running the day-to-day operations. Typically the chairman, you know, they oversee the board of directors and kind of the strategic direction. But as far as the operational stuff, that's all on the CEO. It'll be interesting to see if anything major changes under the new CEO or if it continues to be the same old thing. It would be nice if this guy came in and said, look, we need to refocus on the customer. But that doesn't always make money, and that's all that matters to the board is making money and increasing their value. Mm-hmm. So probably won't see a lot of changes. But it's still big news when somebody who's been around as long as Gary Loveman moves along, or at least moves on to a different position. So I thought it was worth discussing. Plus, I got to give him credit for single-handedly leading the Dutch boy haircut craze of 1992 that swept the nation. Mm-hmm. Remember when all the guys were getting Dutch boy haircuts?
Uh-huh.
Then that kind of ended and everybody started growing beards again. I think that's how that went as far as fashion. Any thoughts on the Loveman era?
I think you've stated them all already.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Well, we'll see what it means in the long run.
So after people grew out the Dutch boy haircut.
Uh-huh. It was a good time. Good time in America.
Did they have like the the James Vanderbeek and Nick Carter hair where they had like the long bangs, but there was a little bit of a part. So you had like this little,
I think
the
so,
curl, the face framing.
And then that led the way into the MySpace emo hair, which yes. took over a few years later, which I still have.
Yes, you do. You just got you got it reshaped recently.
I did. All right. I think this next story is some good news. I'm excited about this next development. New York Times broke a story this week that the Elvis Presley estate is going to be opening a second permanent exhibit, the first, of course, being Graceland in Memphis. That exhibit will be located in Las Vegas. It's this going to be good. A major, major exhibit of Elvis memorabilia, and its home is going to be Westgate.
This is a good fit.
I think this is a very good fit.
A ton of Elvis memorabilia. You might be getting to this. Will it be arranged the way it is currently, where they just have the exhibit on the floor?
No,
will they have a separate
I think
area?
I'm sure they'll charge to get in, so I suspect it will be.
But I would pay for that.
I will absolutely pay to go to this. I'm very excited.
We gotta go to Graceland sometime.
I know. Well, this is so the thing about this. First of all, the reason that it's great that it's at Westgate, if you're not familiar with that property's history, Westgate used to be LVH, which used to be Las Vegas Hilton, which used to be the International. And that's the important part. The International was the home in Las Vegas to Elvis when he performed there throughout the late 60s and 70s. He did more than 800 shows at that property. So it's forever associated with Elvis and the Vegas years. And in fact, I guess a lot of the memorabilia that they have in storage is related to his Vegas years.
Ooh.
They've got like giant marquees and all kinds of stuff that
cool.
that might come out of storage just
costumes.
For this. I imagine there will be tons of costumes. But what you had mentioned is when we were at Westgate, and we don't spend a lot of time there, it's slightly off the strip, and there hasn't really been a great reason for us to spend much time there, even back to when it was Las Vegas Hilton. We've only been in there a few times. But one of the things that really impressed us that we liked was, in addition to the Elvis statue in the lobby, which has been there forever, they had a lot of Elvis memorabilia throughout the lobby. They had outfits, and they had one of his cars and mm-hmm. some other. There's like a gold-plated gun. There's all kinds of stuff on display, and it was really nice to see that they were paying tribute to the history not only of that hotel but of Elvis's years in Vegas.
Yep.
And the fact that they're going to expand that and have that as like a second Graceland is very, very cool. Mm-hmm. And I think it'll be really popular.
I think so, too.
I think it's close enough to the strip that – and it's on the monorail line.
I do have to say, if that's one – advantage of the monorail is it makes mm-hmm. Westgate convenient.
Absolutely. So I'm psyched about this. There isn't an actual opening date yet. In fact, this, even though New York Times ran it, it hasn't been officially announced by Graceland or Westgate. This was kind of their scoop. Although I think that the people they talked to are with the Graceland, the current Graceland exhibit and the Elvis estate. So it is happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of when. They're probably going to announce it in about a month. And I think this is going to be good. Graceland has, I guess they said, millions of items in their collection, but only a fraction of those are on display at Graceland at any one time. And they mm-hmm. rotate things in and out. They have different sorts of exhibits in different, like different years. They'll have, I think they had about 2 years ago. I think they had more than a year ago. They had an Elvis in Vegas exhibit at Graceland.
They did.
So it's nice that a lot of those things are going to be more permanent and on display for Elvis fans and for Vegas fans.
Mm-hmm.
Very excited about this.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever it opens, we will be there. I would say whatever our immediate trip is following the opening.
Right. We're not flying out for the opening.
I wouldn't intend to unless the Elvis estate or Westgate wants to give us a free trip out just to check it out and cover it.
Doubtful.
I am a big enough whore that I would gladly do that. So there you have it. Good news. I like the direction of what we're seeing with Westgate.
Yes.
And the new owner is doing some things that are interesting.
Because my biggest concern is that they preserve the history of the property.
Well, this is a good sign.
Yeah.
I think one of our calls later has some additional comments on some of the changes that are taking place over there, too. So.
And I'm also hoping they preserve some of the design elements because they are cool.
Yes, I agree completely. Okay, moving along, some entertainment news. Holly Madison, Las Vegas darling, Holly Madison, former playmate, longtime star of Peep Show at Planet Hollywood, and short-time partner at 1923 Bourbon and Burlesque at Mandalay Bay, was in the news this week. She has filed a lawsuit against the operators of that venue in 1923. She's alleging that they installed security cameras and recorded her and the other burlesque dancers in their changing area without their knowledge. That's no good. You can't do that.
Nope.
This is kind of similar. A few years ago, we talked about a similar lawsuit against one of the theaters in the Miracle Mile shops at Planet Hollywood. And I'm not exactly sure how that resolved, but... Mm-hmm. So it's not the first time that there have been accusations of such things. 1923 issued a statement about this whole lawsuit. They're claiming that the whole thing is a publicity stunt Holly Madison is using to promote an upcoming book. And they said that the dancers were using a hallway area that wasn't intended as a changing area originally. And as soon as they found out that that was the case, they resolved it by removing the cameras from those areas. And that none of the images that were captured on the camera none of the images on the camera were ever actually captured or in any way reused. Now, if they're security cameras, I have a hard time believing that they weren't captured.
Right.
That they weren't actually, you know, usually if you have a security camera, it's going to be recorded so you can look back in case there was, mm-hmm. even if it's just for a couple of days or weeks or whatever. But they're saying none of the images were captured or republished. So we will see if there's anything to this lawsuit.
That's an odd thing to do for book promotion.
Yeah, though. I don't know.
That doesn't make sense to me.
I suppose anything that gets your name in the news in some way is book promotion. Hmm. When my book comes out, I plan to sue you for video cameras installed in our house to capture me changing as well.
Yes.
And I will claim that they're republished and damaged my reputation and my modeling career. When people realize I wear Spanx to keep this my figure.
Right. I'm just trying to document your pantsless lifestyle. That's all I'm trying to do.
I think it's well documented at least by me talking about it, but I don't think anybody wants to see footage of me walking around the house in shorts and a t-shirt 24 hours a day. Let's move on. Am I what? You were going to ask me something.
But that's all I see.
It's true. You're the lucky one. Congratulations. You're the lucky one.
Thanks. I am.
Nightclub news. Bally's had a nightclub for a brief time called Liaison. It was operated by Victor Dre. It opened in June. It was a gay nightclub, and it got a lot of attention for being the first gay nightclub within an actual casino on the Strip. That has closed. Apparently it didn't do too well. It wasn't drawing enough business. Las Vegas Weekly had some interesting speculation on why it didn't do well. And they're saying either they think either from Victor Dre or more likely from Bally's and Caesars Entertainment, the owner of Bally's, there was pressure for them to be more upscale and take a little bit different direction than a lot of the other gay clubs. And as a result, it may not have actually appealed to the audience that they were trying to appeal to. Mm-hmm. And they were saying that gay clubbers typically prefer a little bit more raunchy and casual atmosphere.
Huh.
And they didn't have any real raunch, and it was a little more formal and upscale. And as a result, it might not have done well because of that. So,
like the guys in the showers at the saloon in Minneapolis?
I have not been there.
I haven't either. I've just heard things. Oh. I'm just telling you what I heard.
I'm sure.
I've been watching too much Saturday Night Live Gap commercial or Gap sketches.
Not making the connection there, but that's okay. Confused. So the space at Bally's, currently used or previously used by Liaison before it closed, which was previously the Bally's Diamond Lounge many years ago, that will be transitioning to a new exciting nightlife concept, according to Victor Dre, who's going to continue to run it, apparently.
He's been very successful with other things.
Yeah.
So.
But he's kind of... And I'm curious what he'll do with it because the Weekly also pointed out that he had stated he didn't really want to do any more like typical loungy nightclubby concepts after his stuff at Cromwell opened. So I don't know what new nightlife concept this could possibly be without it being a typical lounge. It's not that big of a space, so I don't know what it will become. I think it'll probably sit empty for a while, but time will tell. If something new is announced, we'll certainly discuss it here. Another nightclub that is coming soon is Omnia at Caesar's Palace. It now has an opening date.
Hooray.
Hooray. That's the old Pure Space right in front of Caesar's Palace. In fact, when I was in Vegas in January, there was a ton of work being done on the exterior. It kind of was messing up the traffic flow because they had to have like scaffolding and stuff in one of the lanes, like where the cabs, a lot of times the cabs queue up there.
That's a mess anyway.
It was a weird kind of clusterfuck there. Even the pedestrian, they had to change like the pedestrian flow a little bit because I think it took up a sidewalk. So hopefully they'll get that done. Well, they will be getting that done quickly. The opening date is March 12th. So if you're excited for new nightclubs, we'll see if Omnia measures up to the other new nightclubs, Hakkasan and the Dre's clubs at the Cromwell, and gets all the buzz and attention. I'm sure they'll be bringing in all the usual celebrities to promote the hell out of it.
Celebrities in quotes for some of them.
Yes, indeed. One more nightlife news item. Over at Cosmopolitan, there's another change at Rose Rabbit Lie. You may recall that several months ago, we discussed that Spiegelworld had been removed from Rose Rabbit Lie. Spiegelworld is the company that does absinthe, and they also put on Vegas Nocturne, which was the resident show at Rose Rabbit Lie.
Which was a huge mistake.
Getting rid of them?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so too. So Vegas Nocturne, of course, is no more. There's some lawsuits between Spiegelworld and Cosmo. Cosmo now announced that it's taking complete control of the club. They booted their other partner, a company called Coastal Luxury Management, and now it's all on Cosmo. They are managing every aspect of that club, apparently. I'm not exactly sure what this means, if there will be any more significant changes. I suspect, as I've mentioned in the past, that Cosmo or that Rose Rabbit Lie is not going to make it beyond this year. I think it'll be closing within, I was going to say by the end of the year, but I'd say within 6 months it'll be closed.
I wouldn't be surprised if that happened, unfortunately.
Generally, every report I think that we've had
is that it's dead in there.
Has been that at the very least, even if it's doing okay on a particular night, by about midnight, it is dead. And that's not good for a nightlife concept.
Ooh.
So
Midnight's early for Vegas.
It is. It's a really cool idea. We had a tremendous time when we were there early on in the run of Rose Rabbit Lie. It was a cool combination of entertainment and bars and restaurants and all this stuff kind of packed into one. And there was stuff going on throughout the venue, even in addition to the show. And there's still some of that happening. But I guess it's just not. There's been some discussion that maybe, because it is so hard to explain and describe, that it's hard to promote. So if people don't understand it, they might not be likely to check it out.
Yeah.
And that might be part of the reason that it's not doing so well. I think they were depending maybe a little too much on word of mouth, and that's not enough to carry it through. So time will tell if it ends up making it, if they end up changing anything significantly enough to bring in an audience. But for now, I think the main draw of it is that it's a restaurant, and I don't know that that's...
That's enough.
I don't know if that's going to do it.
I don't think it is.
I did notice on Cosmopolitan's website, you know, they
I've heard good things, but I don't think it's, it does not have.
Right.
I haven't heard spectacular things.
Yeah. They are part of Cosmopolitan's nightly social hour, which is their, pretty much all of their restaurants and bars there, or all the restaurants, I should say, have happy hour from 5:30 to 7. I think it's 5:30 to 7.
Okay.
And they are part of that. They do have some cheap food specials, so. If you want to check it out and eat there, that might be a way to do it.
Yeah. They it's do small good
plates.
Drinks.
It's small plates, so even if you're going to end up spending a bunch of money anyway. But drinks were good. The entertainment was good. It was a really fun venue. I liked it a lot. So I hope they figure out a way to make it work. Yeah. But we shall see. After a while, it's one of those things where the name is out there enough and people have heard about it. But if they haven't gone already, they're probably not going to. I don't know. I'll be surprised if they're able to turn it around without a major change. Also, the location isn't great.
No, it's not. It's hidden away a little bit. I wonder if they brought in a new entertainment component, if that would help things.
Something that's consistent instead of rotating shows, maybe? Yeah. That could be. Though I think the issue with Vegas Nocturne, too, is that name never caught on. Like people would say, oh, I'm going to see Rose Rabbit Lie at 10 p.m.
Right.
It was
never, I'm going to see Vegas Nocturne.
Yeah.
I'm going to go see a canto.
Yeah. So I don't know how you promote. I don't know how you can successfully promote the show and the venue separately. I don't know.
Yeah.
Hard to say. So there you have it. That's the deal with Cosmo this week. One final story before we move along to some other things. Some news about Bellagio's sports book from our friend Tom at Vegas Parlay. That sports book, which we don't spend a ton of time in sports books, but that's one that we've always liked.
Yeah. Comfy chairs.
Yes. They've got really comfortable chairs and pretty good viewing. Mm-hmm.
Good cocktail service.
You can sit back far enough that you can see all of the screens at once.
Yep.
They're going to be undergoing some changes. A lot of the desk seating that they have, that's going to be going away, and that's kind of the horse racing area. They'll still keep some of it, but they're going to be replacing a lot of it with more lounge seating, comfortable couches, lounge chairs, tables, kind of similar to what Aria has, and I guess Monte Carlo has done this as well. So that's going to be happening in the next month or so, and they're hoping to complete it by March Madness.
That would be a good time to aim for.
I would say so, because they will be busy.
As everywhere else will be, too.
Yep. But yeah, even the desk seating, which they're doing away with, some of that, those are the chairs that are like, they're like big leather, comfortable chairs. You can recline back and take it all in, and I like that sports book a lot. So keep an eye out for that if you're interested in sports betting and hanging out and watching exciting sports action in Vegas. All right. So before I do my exciting movie review, oh, we have our Facebook group discussion of the week, too. We were just adding more and more segments here on the podcast. I was contemplating whether or not we should add another segment.
What?
There's been a lot of rumors about, there's always a lot of rumors surrounding things in Vegas. Mm-hmm. And I'm always conflicted whether or not we should talk about them.
Yeah.
Because half the time they end up being nothing. And so I'm trying to decide if we should add some sort of a rumor segment.
Hmm.
Like, is this bullshit or something? I don't know. I haven't decided yet if I'm going to do that.
Hmm.
So for this week, we're not going to address the rumors.
We talk about a few rumors, though.
I know. Sometimes they're interesting and catch my... that's the thing. I'm inconsistent with it.
If they catch your fancy.
Well, and if I don't know.
You're so fancy.
Why are you doing that?
Because you love Iggy Azalea so much.
I do not. She's mush mouth. She's horrible.
You're looking forward to the Grammys tonight just for her.
No, I'm forwarding through her entire... Is she performing?
I don't know.
Yeah, probably. Oh, well, who cares? Let's talk about something better than Iggy Azalea, shall we?
Bye, Ator. Bye, Ator. It gives you more.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All righty. So what I've been enjoying on the Viator site lately is just going there and picking a random city and seeing what they have to offer. And if I were still employed full time by my previous employer, I would be going, which I'm not.
Thank God you're not.
I know. I would be going to Boston this summer. That was originally on the docket for responsibilities for a meeting, but I'm not going there. But anyway, I was thinking about it and I decided, I wonder what they have on the Viator website for Boston.
We should go to Boston on our own terms.
That would be much more fun anyway. Yes, we should. And they have some great, great attractions and tours and things.
It wasn't so fun. There was, when I accompanied you on work excursions, you were kind of a mess.
I know. I have a hard time.
No, you were a mess.
Oh, I was an absolute mess.
No kind of about it. You were a mess.
I have a hard time separating. If I'm somewhere for a work trip, it was always very hard for me to weave in non-work aspects. I was always thinking about the work. I'm very focused when I'm in that environment.
Yes.
So, I know what you're talking about. We went to the Fratellis concert in Chicago, and I had a hard time even enjoying that, even though I love the Fratellis, because I was in Chicago for work, and I knew the next morning I'd have to be up early, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, absolutely. I agree. Now, if I stayed on afterwards and you came out, that was different.
That was a little different, although sometimes I would come out while you were still finishing up
still in work mode. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's much better not having that as part of it. I agree. I don't disagree with anything you're saying.
It was an unhealthy environment.
I would say that would be accurate.
Yeah.
Anyway, Boston, where I'm not going for work. But
we will go for pleasure at some point.
We will. They have lots of cool stuff on Viator to make your experience in Boston, if you do choose to go there, exciting and entertaining and interesting. In fact, isn't Boston bidding on the Olympics?
I don't know.
I don't know. That's probably like 10 years off or something, but they are. So if you were to go there, you could
Like they do need all more traffic problems.
I just saw something about, not to go off on a tangent in the middle of our Viator segment, which we do every week.
Because we didn't just do that 2 minutes ago.
The whole thing about Olympic bidding, the people who are behind the committee for a bid, the city,
Minneapolis bid all the time.
Once in a while, but the city itself, Boston, like the city officials aren't really into this. They don't really want it. The committee who's,
because you end up building all this stuff and then it costs you a fortune and then it just sits there.
The committee who is responsible for putting in a bid for Boston, it's all construction executives. So, of course they want it.
Yeah.
So they're the ones pushing
for them.
Yeah. So it's a big scam. So I hope for the sake of the people living in Boston, you don't get the Olympics because it'll mess up your lives for a long time and you're going to end up having to probably pay more taxes and stuff. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but if you're vacationing in Boston or if you live in the area and want to check out some cool stuff, they have all kinds of great attractions that you can check out on Viator.com. They've got
Seahawks fans, so do not want to hear this right now.
Oh, well. Yeah. Let's not get into talking about those two unlikable teams. Dinner cruises, duck boat tours. They've got whale watching cruises. I would not think of Boston as a whale watching
I wouldn't either.
Location, but of course, why wouldn't it be? It's right there in the ocean. They have whales in the ocean. Mm-hmm. I don't know how this works. I'm not a seagoing.
You're not a seafarer.
Person, no. They have a couple different passes that'll get you into many, many exhibits for one price, like the Boston Card or a City Pass. Hmm. Of course, as any major tourist attraction, they have an aquarium, the New England Aquarium. Are aquariums a thing anymore as far as building new ones? For a while, like in the 90s, every city was building an aquarium. I think we've moved on to Ferris wheels.
Okay.
Maybe that's what's happening, so we don't get as many new aquariums. But there are tons of aquariums, and they have a decent one in Boston. And of course, I love when they have TV and movie tours. And I'd maybe be interested in this one, although I don't watch a lot of these TV shows. But you can check out sites from Cheers, The Town, Boston Legal, the movies Good Will Hunting, The Departed, and more. So if you're into that kind of stuff, I like seeing movie, like familiar locations in person. I kind of enjoy that. So that might be fun. They also have hop on and hop off trolley tours, all kinds of other stuff. If you're going to Boston or any major city in America or elsewhere, any tourist attraction, Viator has you covered with attractions, tours, shows, and adventures. They're going to make your trip better, and they make this show better by sponsoring us. We love that. Mm-hmm. Viator.com is the place to go, or you can visit our site, 500 by Midnight, and click through our banner for Viator, and we get extra credit points. And a few of our listeners have done that recently.
And thank you for doing that.
Thank you for that. We appreciate that very, very much. And thank you, as always, to Viator.
For putting up with our shenanigans.
Yes.
Yet again.
Yes. All right. So, Facebook discussion of the week. I like this new segment. I'm glad we added this.
Yay.
This one for me was an easy one. There's a post on February 5th from Stacy, and she shared some of her Vegas rookie mistakes, things that during her first trip she did wrong, and suggested that other people share theirs. And it's really, really
good. It was entertaining.
Good, and a lot of responses. And it's amazing how many consistent themes there are.
Oh, yes.
Many of us have done the same stupid things during our first trips, not knowing any better. Mm-hmm. Bad shoes. A lot of them are walking related.
My first appearance on this show, you said, what's one thing you would tell people? And I said, wear good footwear.
That's right. Yep. Yep. Yep.
Of course, I wanted to make it footwear related, but I did have a point.
It's true. And a lot of people have made that mistake. And a lot of people have made the mistake of going, oh, it's right there. Let's walk.
Like Rio. No.
Everything is so large and looks so close. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's not. So, yes, that is a common rookie mistake. And there were many, many others. There were some people were saying they stayed at Excalibur, which that was our first place to stay.
Second place. We stayed there twice.
But like I said, we've said before, for our budget, it fit into our lives. It worked well.
Yeah.
But yeah, there are a lot of regrets as far as first-time trips. And if you want to read about them or contribute to them, check that discussion out.
I don't know if I regret anything.
No, I don't regret it. It was a
learning experience. I would do it differently now.
Yeah. And we do.
Yep.
We're like, fuck that. I'm not walking. I'm jumping in a cab.
Mm-hmm. I'm not staying at Excalibur again.
It was fun to read. And thanks to Stacy for starting that discussion and to everybody who jumped in and shared their own experiences. Mm-hmm. All right. So I watched a movie yesterday.
You did?
I did.
Well, I was being scholarly.
I think you were still sleeping when I started watching
it. Oh, okay.
There's a new movie that just came out. It's available on demand. It's also in a few theaters, too, at the same time, but I think you're more likely to find it online. It's called Wild Card. Stars Jason Statham. This is a no-spoiler segment. I will discuss the movie, and I think it's easy to do this. I can discuss this movie in general terms and give you an overarching scenario that explains the movie.
What is an overarching scenario?
I have
scenario?
No fucking idea what I'm talking about now.
Could you add a few more buzzwords into your review, please?
I'll edit this out in post. So anyway, no spoilers, but I will explain what the movie is without ruining for you, so you can check it out. It is an action film. Jason Statham does. He's not really known for slapstick comedy, so it would make sense that it would be an action film.
Okay.
It's called Wild Card, and the reason that it's called that is because his character, and I love when they do this in action movies, his character is named Nick Wilde.
Ooh.
So get it? They used his name in the title. So clever. And he plays a Las Vegas tough guy. I'm not exactly sure what he is. I think he's like a bodyguard or something, but it's confusing. He works in an attorney's office, and the attorney is Jason Alexander, who's inexplicably in the movie for like 2 minutes. It's weird. Anyway, as with any good action movie, the main character, Jason Statham, best in the business, plays by his own rules.
Nice.
Yep. He's a quiet loner, and yet somehow everybody in town knows him, and they like him. He's kind of quirky. He has this thing that he has his thing that he does that's a little odd, his breakfast choice every day. It's odd. I won't go into what it is. But in the case of this movie, when something bad happens to one of his friends, at first he resists.
You could be describing Roadhouse right now.
Exactly. Any action movie. That's why there's no spoilers here. Something happens to one of his friends. At first he resists getting involved, but of course it's personal, so he can't help it. He has to jump in and help. And then there's a lot of ass kicking, and there's a lot of Vegas in it. And for that reason, I would suggest seeing it if you're into action movies or Vegas. The usual Las Vegas Strip driving scene where all the casinos are out of order.
Oh, yeah.
Always a popular feature in almost any Las Vegas movie. Most of the things that were filmed in Las Vegas were exteriors. I think the only major exception is Planet Hollywood. There's some interior stuff there. Hmm. Mostly you're going to see exterior stuff. There is a lot of time spent inside of Golden Gate, which was very interesting. It wasn't actually Golden Gate. They recreated Golden Gate, and they did a pretty good job of making it feel Golden Gate-esque, even though it's different.
Uh-huh.
Like, there are aspects I'm like, oh, are they actually there? Because that kind of looks like...
like the blackjack pit.
Yeah, like he's playing cards, and in the background, you see like, oh, that looks like the High Limit Room, but then they pan to a different shot, and suddenly there's part of the casino that is... like up four stairs.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, that's not there. And you couldn't really put that in there temporarily. And so
it was a soundstage, right?
Yeah. They did a good job with making it feel like Golden Gate, but it actually isn't. So that was kind of fun to see. Of course, with any action movie, the plot is shaky and unrealistic. There are ridiculous, crazy, ridiculous fights, a pretty good dose of Vegas. And then these unnecessary appearances by like, why would you pay Jason Alexander and Sofia Vergara for, like, these minor roles? I'm not exactly sure, but...
maybe they had larger parts and they ended up on the cutting room floor? Who knows?
Could be. I don't know why you would have... why would you cut anything out of this movie? I enjoyed it a great deal, and I like bad action movies. It's not great. I think Rotten Tomatoes is... it's low. It's got a low percentage, but...
but you were entertained by it, and that's that counts.
I enjoyed the Vegas aspect. I like bad action movies, so I enjoyed that. But it's not like the greatest film. It's not necessarily something I would watch as part of a pre-Vegas ritual. Uh-huh. Because with those, I like something a little more lighthearted.
Yeah.
I like your hangovers, your Vegas vacations, your more comedy, or even the Ocean's 11 movies, which are, yeah, they're a little bit more dramatic, but they're a little bit more lighthearted than this. But still, fun movie, and I would recommend watching it if you're so inclined to check out a Vegas-y action movie. Thumbs up. I haven't checked out The Gambler yet, which is, I think that's got at least a Vegas, I don't know how much of it was actually done in Vegas, if anything, but I haven't heard good things about it. The original one was okay with James Caan. That had some good, at least some good Vegas scenery. I like seeing, I'll watch almost anything shot in like the 70s and 80s in Vegas. Is this Are you bored by my discussion of this? Telling me I'm going on a little too long with the movie review? Are you feeling left out because you didn't see it?
No, I'm not feeling left out.
Well, you want to do the rest of the show without me?
No.
No, I'm sad. Okay.
I'm sorry.
You get the idea. Wild card, Jason Statham, on demand. Check it out if you're so inclined. I give it a thumbs up. Are we done?
That's good.
If anybody wants any of my other opinions on Vegas movies in general, I'd be happy to share them with you in person if we ever meet. Apparently, this isn't the place. I think we should take some phone calls now. Is that okay with you?
Sure.
All right. Stretching and yawning during the show doesn't build a lot of confidence in me, you know?
Well, I felt myself starting to yawn, and I thought I would just exaggerate it a little bit just to see what you would do.
You're going to tell me to move it along subtly. All right. We're moving it along.
Tim and Michelle, Sportsbook Tom here. Fighting a cold after my trip in Vegas, my weekend in Vegas, but that's all right. We're getting better. Super Bowl weekend in Vegas, a lot of fun. Stayed at the Westgate, as I do often. I think next trip I'll probably stay downtown, but got a good rate at the Westgate, so went back and got a signature room, which is their recently remodeled rooms. The actual room was nice, upgraded carpet, furniture, bed, TV, all that good stuff. Odd thing is the bathroom wasn't touched at all, which I found really strange that they'd remodel everything, and carpet, furniture, and you go into the bathroom, it still looks like the old LVH or Hilton bathroom. So kind of odd.
Not too uncommon with remodels. It's kind of a 50-50 on whether or not they tackle the bathroom in any sort of major way. I think because it's a much larger job, a lot more expensive if you tack the bathroom on. So I kind of understand that. But it is always weird when you're in a room that's somewhat new and then you go into the bathroom and it's like, oh, this feels like it's 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I get it, though. They're trying to save some money. I think they're probably trying to get the remodeling done quickly. Maybe they'll tackle the bathrooms later on.
Nothing wrong about it. Just seemed kind of weird. But the room itself, actually, the remodel was good. So I was happy with it. But the bathrooms still weren't touched, which, you know, whatever. Just weird. In no particular order, we hit SLS, the wife and I, played a little video poker there. She played some slots. Spent about an hour, hour and a half at SLS. The wife had been on a cold streak for the last couple trips. She had gone on the slots, but this trip went really well for her. She had several hundred bucks on Wheel of Fortune back at Westgate. And at SLS, I don't recall what she was playing, but she cleared SLS with about 200 bucks. And she usually only starts with $20, so she did pretty good. I played video poker there, really just at the bar, wanting to get some free beers while she enjoyed the slot machines at SLS. One odd thing about SLS is I was sitting at the bar playing video poker. They've got this transitional lighting in the casino, which is pretty cool, actually. I like it. The overhead lights kind of change colors subtly. Problem is, like, for 7 or 10 seconds during a certain lighting change, you cannot see the fucking screen at all. And the guy sitting next to me playing video poker was mentioning the same thing. I thought it was kind of funny. So basically you're about to hold some cards or deal or draw or whatever, and you got to sit tight for about 8-9 seconds until the lighting changes and you can see the screen again. It's just weird. But anyhow, SLS was nice. I had not gone to that casino yet, and I thought the look of the place was pretty cool. I hope it does well. All the talk about SLS struggling in the death spiral, I mean, I hope it's not the case and it does well. The old Griddle Cafe, there was a super long line there as we were leaving. I imagine that was a Griddle Cafe just because there was a sign with butcher paper over it. I know they're changing names, so I don't know what's going on there, but the cafe with no name had a long line, so looks like a lot of people were there. I also want to mention Holstein's. We went there in the evening, not so much to eat, just want to get a couple of beers. Another couple had met us in town, and they had never been to the Cosmo, so we wanted to show them around there. They've been wanting to see it. Went to Holstein's for some drinks, about 11 o'clock, pushing midnight. They have a really good DJ at Holstein's at night. So if you're not looking for the club scene and just want to hang out, listen to some good music, and have a few drinks, I think Holstein's will do the trick, and you can see all the debauchery from Marquee across the way. So I know people kind of ask where they can go to just listen to music and chill out. I think Holstein's might be a good option for that. I know there's other places at Cosmo as well, like Bon Bar and stuff, but Holstein's actually was good for that, so it was fun. Super Bowl on Sunday was a clusterfuck of people, but it is Super Bowl, and it was a lot of fun. Watched the game at the Westgate Ballroom. They had a big party there. Game was entertaining, so that made it all the better. After the Super Bowl, we went to dinner at Firefly. It was right down the road. Didn't want to go too far. At Firefly, there's a dish called Camarones a la Diabla, which is basically sweet and spicy shrimp, which is in this dark sauce that was some of the best stuff I've ever had. It was so good. So if anyone's a sweet and spicy shrimp fan, go to Firefly and have that dish. It's absolutely delicious. I enjoyed it. I think the two pitchers of sangria we were into already probably made it taste all the better. But anyhow, that's just a quick little report on the trip. Tim and Michelle, hope all is well. Keep doing what you're doing on the podcast. And probably call you back after March Madness. Probably going to stay downtown, so that should be fun. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks, cool. As always, for your report. We do appreciate it.
You didn't get sick on your recent trip.
I know.
That's awesome.
Usually with the winter trips, I come back and I'm in bad shape. Sometimes even the non-winter trips. But I know. I was very pleased with this development. Mm-hmm. Firefly is about due for another salmonella case, aren't they?
Yeah.
They've had multiple issues.
I've been to that location. It was several years ago. I really liked the food.
It's moved.
It's
not in there anymore.
That's right.
Yeah, it's on the same stretch, but it moved.
But it's moved down the road a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's a larger location.
Yeah.
Yeah, food at Firefly was great in both the locations that we visited. But
they've had some issues with the health department.
Yeah. It's been a while, though. Yeah. So maybe they've turned things around.
Maybe they have.
We hope so. Okay, so you know what? Since we're on the Westgate kick, let's hear from Matt.
Hey, Tim and Michelle. It's Matt from Houston. I'm a longtime listener and a first-time caller. Staying at the Westgate for Super Bowl weekend with some buddies, and I wanted to call in with a trip report to talk about some of the Westgate improvements since we stayed here last year as well. They've got a new bar up front, which seems pretty nice right by the entrance. There's a restaurant on the casino floor, so you don't have to go very far to get a bite to eat. They moved the poker pit that they had to closer to the sports book, which I think is a good location. They're still spreading 1-3, no limit, and seem to run some tournaments as well on the weekends, which is nice for a poker player like me. They do have timeshares, but the sales reps were not overly obnoxious. They're just there if you have questions. At least in my experience, I didn't get accosted by anyone, so that was nice. I can talk a little bit about the shows and entertainment because we got to see Sexy with two X's,
starring
Jennifer Romas. This show was seriously beyond my expectations. There was so much talent, great dancing, terrific singing, some acrobatics.
Boobies.
It probably helped our entertainment value that one of our crew had his birthday and they dragged him up on stage and made him part of the show. So that's obviously fun, but I think it was fun for everyone. It was just really good, so much so that a couple of us are considering seeing it again after the Super Bowl. So I think that was definitely worth our while. They had a meet and greet with the stars of the show afterwards, which was cool. And actually, before that show, they have the Purple Rain Prince tribute. So the star of that comes out as well. That would be a great doubleheader to see. Next time, hopefully, maybe they'll still be running those shows and we'd do that. Went to DuPar's and Golden Gate last night, which is a blast as always. I started making sure we go there last year after listening to your show. That's it for now. So go Seahawks. Hopefully they win me some bets. And
wah, wah.
Thanks so much for all that you do You all helped so many of us maximize our fun at Vegas. So we're having a great time. Thanks again. Bye.
All right. Thank you so much for the report. We do appreciate it. So I think the Westgate, so far the Westgate reports have been positive on the stuff that's going on there. This is good.
This is good. I'm happy to hear it.
Indeed. One of the bigger worries was that the timeshare thing would be obnoxious.
Yeah. When we were in there, it wasn't bad.
They were standing around in the lobby, but again,
they weren't aggressive.
No, not aggressive at all. So I wonder how much of their marketing will be aimed at people who stay in the hotel afterwards. Mm-hmm. If the people who stay there will be getting phone calls and mail saying, hey, you were here. You hopefully enjoyed it. How about
making it your permanent Vegas home?
How about getting a place?
Well, not permanent, but
timeshares are. Yeah. Kind of.
Oh, yeah.
Although I don't know how the Westgate timeshares, I don't want to know. I don't really care about timeshares.
Yeah.
But,
how about you stay here every time you come here?
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to say.
I don't know if it's one of those things where you get points and you can stay in any of the Westgate properties. Timeshares function in different ways. It's not always specific to one location.
I don't know how they work, but I don't really have a burning desire to know how they work because they are not for me.
Not for me.
There was a discussion on the Facebook group about timeshares, and I think some people find that it's okay if they sit through the two-hour presentation. If they get a certain amount of money and a show out of it, they feel that that's worthwhile.
Right.
But that is not for me.
No.
I would be crabby that I sat there for 2 hours.
Yeah.
But if it's your thing, go for it.
Yeah. I don't like to sacrifice that much time towards something I'm not really into.
Yeah. It would not be for me.
Yep. Okay. Moving along.
Hey, Tim and Michelle Podcasting, this is Pat from the Dawn Sturdy crew. We are on our second night of a three-night trip to Vegas, and I want to give you a call. I'm sitting here at Aria. We just came out of Bardot and had dinner. Fantastic.
Yay.
Can't talk better about this place than it may be. I've got a lot of notes here, so let me walk through them real quick. I spent the day running through Vegas, and by noon, the typical strip shit show. We're staying downtown, and as you might expect, Vegas on the Strip is what it was. So I got to tell you, at SLS, they will comp you Don Julio playing video poker. That was pretty strong. We also went to Notre Daddy at the Scorpions. We all enjoyed them. No ill effects. I want to give a shout-out to one of the cocktail waitresses at Downtown Grand. She was a dead ringer for Kelly Clarkson back in the fantastic days, and can't be better than that.
I'm Kelly Clarkson.
Look out, Cortez, one of the best tip offs I've ever seen.
Whenever I hear Kelly Clarkson's name, I have to do it's a reference from Stern from years ago. There's a guy on there named High Pitch Eric.
Okay.
And he prank called one of the other whack packers, Eric the Midget, who's no longer with us. And Eric the Midget was a big Kelly Clarkson fan. Mm-hmm. So High Pitch Eric, who has a high-pitched voice, thus the name.
Hence the name.
Called him and was pretending to be Kelly Clarkson.
So now every time you hear her name, you think of
who's
that.
Who's High Pitch? I'm Kelly Clarkson.
Oh, my God.
Can't help it. Look it up on YouTube. It's hilarious.
Okay.
Or maybe not, but I find it funny. I know about four of our listeners will think it's really funny because it comes up on Twitter often. Anyway, what was I going to say? I'm really happy to hear that Bardot is getting good reviews.
Yes.
I'm excited about that place.
I would like to try that place the next time we go.
Yep. Okay. Continuing on with Pat's call.
I had a good time playing blackjack, but I got to tell you, the wine yard was a failure. Not even open. Supposed to be open on Friday nights only. Not happening.
Oh, yeah. Wine yard was that outdoor Friday night, and then they expanded briefly to Saturday night wine bar at El Cortez in the little plaza. When we were there in January... By we, I mean me.
I was going to say.
I'm sorry. I forgot. Same thing. It was shut down.
Never forget.
There were still your own personal 9/11. That might be overshooting.
No, that's a little extreme.
There were like not promotional stuff. It was like a pop-up wine bar. So I think they had like these fake walls. Not fake. They were walls, but.
Temporary walls.
Some sort of temporary walls that had like wine yard logos and stuff on it. Mm-hmm. And those were still there. And I suspect like maybe chairs and stuff were in between. It was like chained up. So like for temporary storage. But it wasn't actually open. And they haven't had any posts on their Facebook page since early December. Hmm. So I suspect either it's done or they decided to shut it down for the winter maybe. I don't know. I would think if it was completely done, they'd get that stuff out of there. But maybe it will come back in the spring. Who knows?
Yeah.
We're also here to play some poker at the Embargo Tournament. Had a good time and playing a lot of poker at Binion's. Finally, I doubled up playing Pi Gal, so I give thanks to the D and Derek Stevens for supporting me in that effort. We're having a good trip. Tomorrow's our main drinking day, so I'll probably follow up with another call. It's been pretty eventful. I'll let you know what happens from here on in. Thanks. Take care.
Did he say main drinking day?
I was just going to comment on that. I like that they have a designated main drinking day during their Vegas trip. I wonder how that is different from the other
drinking days.
During our next trip, will we have a main drinking day?
All of them will be the main drinking day.
I like that.
Which kind of defeats the purpose of having a main drinking day. They're all drinking days.
Yeah. All right. Let's get another quick comment from Pat.
So, Tim and Michelle podcasting, Pat, the Dawn Street Crew, calling back one more time. One thing I forgot, well, first of all, my friends drive me back to the Christmas Mall, so that's Aria. So, there we are. Anyway, yesterday, I ordered a 500 hot dog at Coney, and they claimed no knowledge of this hot dog whatsoever, yet less than 15 seconds later, it showed up after I ordered it. So it's still in effect. It's good to know. Although they slathered mine in mustard. So beware. Just scrape the mustard off. You'll be good. That's all I have for now. We're sure we'll be calling back tomorrow during our main drinking day. Thanks a lot. Thanks for all you do. Bye.
Thank you for the reports. I believe mustard was one of the key ingredients of the 500 dog. Chili, onions,
mustard.
Mustard.
Oh,
two dogs, one bun.
With a Coney right now.
I know. He or someone else posted a picture of it. I know I had a picture of it somewhere, email or Facebook or somewhere. And yes, it was a delicious, sloppy-looking mess, and I would like one right now. Mm-hmm. So I suspect your mileage may vary depending on who is working and whether or not they've been around long enough to know what the wonderful concoction known as the 500 dog is at American Coney. By the way, I'm planning on making some 500 dog T-shirts available later this year.
Nice.
Yes. So they may be limited edition. I'm not sure. I'm working on details, but they will be coming soon. So that'll be fun. Okay. For fans of the wiener, the two wieners in one bun.
For fans of the wiener.
Wiener fans will want one of these shirts. If you enjoy the wiener or two at the same time. There's no better way to signal to the world that you enjoy two wieners at the same time than with a 500 dog t-shirt. Okay, one more call.
Hey, Tim and Michelle, this is Ben. Right now, I'm at the Golden Nugget Pool, and everything is going great. I wanted to tell you a couple things about our trip so far. A funny thing happened at Pizza Rock the other night, and... you know, they're playing some really good music, some songs from the 80s. And we noticed that there was a table of guys that were singing the lyrics. And we started singing too, like some Cinderella songs and Poison and, you know, 80s hair metal bands. Anyways, these guys ended up coming over to our table and started talking to us. And they were, their names are Ken Dog and Fester. And, they invited us to go to Hogs and Heifers and for the next night. So, you know, I put out my phone and I said, okay, we'll meet you there. But anyways, that was a fun time. And then we were walking by El Cortez and they've got the street blocked off. And we asked them what they're doing. They set up this elaborate stage with lights and smoke and found out we talked to a cop and he said that it was actually – for Imagine Dragons, who I like to call Imagination Dragons. And so they're supposed to play live from the Grammys this Sunday night. And they're going to record like a backup concert, like a backup footage, in case the live feed from L.A. to Vegas doesn't work. They can play this pre-recorded concert. And so today is Saturday, and I'm hoping that maybe we'll get to, you know, watch Imagination Dragons play a set tonight. We're going to try to go watch and check it out. The other thing I was going to tell you is we went down to the link. First time I've been down there. We had a group on to ride the Ferris wheel, and it was pretty fun. I've heard other trip reports say that people have gotten, you know, six drinks. Well, our bartender was amazing. She's from Rhode Island, and she was just pouring out shots, whatever you wanted. We're going for a record, so I'm going to say we got at least eight or nine drinks for that, happy hour, 30 minutes, and we got pretty fucked up.
And alcohol poisoning.
Then we ended up going to, having a real good time at O'Shea's down at the Link. There's a cool band there. We played some foosball, had a bunch of fireball, and then somehow we ended up at some piano bar. It might have been at Flamingo. I really can't remember what piano bar it was. But
probably Harris.
That was a lot of fun. Two chicks were playing piano, and we were singing. And listen, it was a crazy time. I listen to your podcast every week. I love it. I like to hear people's trip reports, even if people call in and they're fucked up.
so do we.
Hey, keep on fighting the good fight, and take care. This is Ben from Golden Nugget Pool. I'm out.
Thank you for the report, Ben. I appreciate that.
I'm glad that the happy hour high roller thing came along after we wrote it.
You think it would be a problem?
I think I would view it as a challenge, and that challenge would not end well for me.
That's true. It might be fine that night, but the next day would be an ugly mess, mm-hmm. I suspect. Yeah, eight drinks in an hour is pretty pretty good pace.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've probably done that. I'm sure I've done that, but...
Is it an hour or a half hour?
Half hour. You're right. Oh, that is a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a recipe for disaster. Both that night and the next day.
Oh.
Let's not do that.
No.
Okay.
I will leave it to the professionals.
Clearly, Ben is a professional. We appreciate his report. And mm-hmm. Thank you to everybody who called. We do appreciate that. Before we go, as you mentioned earlier, Valentine's Day is coming up.
Uh-huh.
If you want to get your loved one some perfume to make them smell better, we have a way that you can do that and help the podcast. Our Amazon.com listener purchase of the week this week is not Valentine's Day related, I don't think. But
no, unless you want the person to smell like coffee.
But maybe next week we'll have something that's clearly a Valentine's Day gift.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to buy some sort of Valentine's Day thing, use our link so that I can use it as our next week's thing. This week's Amazon.com listener purchase of the week is the Keurig Green Mountain Coffee Dark Magic K-Cups 72-count pack. Coffee drinkers are nuts, by the way.
I've been pricing this because we have one that we share at work.
Uh-huh.
So Amazon has really good prices on K-Cups.
Okay, yeah. Well, this is $44 for 72. That seems like a good price. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know that I'm in the minority and that I'm not a coffee drinker. I've been thinking a lot about coffee.
You've been referring to it disdainfully as bean water for forever,
as long as we've known each other, I think. But here's the thing. I wonder if whoever in the hotel industry started the coffee pot in the room, if they regret that now.
Yeah.
Because I think it started a bad trend. It's great for coffee drinkers, but it's created this world of entitled tourist coffee drinkers that think that they should have free coffee in their room,
and they get really mad when they don't.
I know, and it's like, well, fuck. I like having a Coke in the morning, but I don't expect them to have a fucking Soda Stream. People who like juice don't expect a fucking juicer and a couple oranges for free in the room. So I'm not sure why coffee is. Somebody's going to be all angry about this and email me because they love their goddamn fucking bean water. But I don't know why that's an expected hotel amenity.
Yeah.
Free coffee. Fuck, I like toast. I don't expect a toaster and bread in my room. I don't make the connection between coffee and a hotel room.
Hmm.
But a lot of them have it. Anyway, I don't know why I'm talking about this other than the fact that our Amazon.com
rage.
It does give me a little rage. Mainly because when people complain about it, I'm like, really? Your expectations are too high.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you expect free beverages in your room?
Huh. The thing is, in Vegas, you can just go downstairs.
It's not like it's hard to find coffee.
Get some at the coffee shop or the Starbucks nearby.
People feel very strongly. I know there's going to be a hate thread on Facebook about this. Yeah. Anyway, thank you to everybody who's been using our Amazon link. We do appreciate it, whether you're a coffee drinker or not, whether you're buying K-Cups or something else. We do appreciate it. It's an easy way to support the show. Click through. We don't know who bought what, but we see what you bought, and we get a small cut. So everybody wins. Hooray. Amazon link is on our website at 500bymidnight.com.
I have to have the half calf because the whole decaf makes me jittery.
And if you're going to drink decaffeinated coffee, okay, at least you're having half calf. I'll give you that. But decaffeinated coffee, what the fuck is the point of that? That's like drinking non-alcoholic beer.
There's a teeny, tiny, tiny bit of caffeine in decaf. It's for extra sensitive.
If you're that sensitive, then...
then don't drink it at all.
Move on to another beverage completely. Because it's not like, really, the taste of coffee is that great, but you don't like the caffeine.
Sometimes a lady needs a pumpkin spice latte and doesn't want to be awake all night.
So you do get decaf sometimes?
I have on occasion. Judge all you want. Oh, I'm judging. Don't care.
I am judging. Decaf. All right, moving along to something nicer. Thank yous, karma donation thank yous to our many beloved listeners who have decided to support the show via that route. Jim and Mary from Pennsylvania with a karma donation. Thank you very much. They're spending 9 nights. That's a long one. 9 nights Ooh. In Vegas. Mary won our Kentucky Derby in October. So apparently she's planning on doing some Sigma Derby practicing in case there's another Vimtucky Derby down the line.
Nice.
And Jim said he's looking for his first Royal. Ooh. And this is going to, he's proclaiming it's going to be his lucky week.
Good, good.
That's the attitude you have to take when you go to Vegas.
Yep.
Because if you start doubting, you're going to just lose. So you got to go into it thinking.
Positive attitude.
This is it.
I am a winner.
I am a winner. Absolutely. So thank you very much, Jim and Mary. We do appreciate it.
Yes. Good luck. I hope you hit that Royal.
Yep. We got a karma donation from Ryan, who has an upcoming wedding on Friday the 13th.
Ooh.
And I said, you know what? Good for you. Way to buck stupid superstitions. They don't matter. They're dumb. They're nonsensical.
Mm-hmm.
I admire and respect Ryan and his fiance for getting married on Friday the 13th.
Nice. Well, have a wonderful wedding.
Absolutely. Good luck. All right. A name butchering donation. People love when I butcher their names, apparently.
All right.
And since we're done with the Kickstarter thank you list, although this gentleman was on the Kickstarter thank you list and wants to hear how I butcher it this time. I don't remember how I pronounced it last time. I'm sure I will get it wrong again. I should just go with his Twitter name, which is Bog Poet. No butchering that, but I'm going to give it a shot. Help me out here. Do you have any idea how to pronounce this?
Nope. I'm just letting you go for it.
Hoyo? Is that a good shot at the first name? Ramos?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say Grasa for the last name. I'm not even going to try to pronounce it again because I'm sure that one-time shot was enough.
Thank you for not only submitting a donation, but
making me do this.
Allowing me to overhear this.
Ugh. I'm just not good with these things. Taylor from New Mexico. I think I got that name right.
Yes. Thank you, Taylor.
Frequent karma donator.
Good luck.
Quick weekend trip happening right now. Good luck, sir. We hope you're having a great time. Bob, he said it's easy to take for granted what we do week in and week out, and he appreciates it.
Oh, thank you, Bob.
Thanks, Bob. That's very kind of you. Kevin with a karma donation for a trip in May.
Thank you.
Just booked it. Was very excited. We emailed back and forth a couple times. I said, I know that feeling.
Yep.
As many times as we've been to Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Still get that little charge after we book.
After you book, yeah.
Yeah, just like, fuck yeah, this is happening.
I have something on the books.
Geared up, instantly start, you know.
Planning.
Planning, even if it's just not even any sort of formal planning, but just the.
Here's where we're going to stay. I want to eat here. I want to see this.
Not even that much. Just like, no? I think I told you, next time we're in Vegas, I just look forward to sitting at a video poker bar and.
And drinking.
Just hanging out there for a while and just. That mm-hmm. experience, which is so basic and simple, mm-hmm. just the thought of it and putting myself mentally in that position,
mm-hmm.
it's like, yeah, I can't wait.
Hey.
So, yes, I totally get the booking excitement, yes. And we wish Kevin good luck in
on
May.
Your May.
And
trip.
Enjoy the time, the run-up to May, because
yes.
you know,
the anticipation is fun. Underrated.
I agree. I love the anticipation.
You know what makes me sad? There are sometimes where I do not take the time to anticipate things because I have other stuff going on and it's super busy.
It just comes up really fast. You haven't really thought about it that much.
I like sitting back and thinking, I have a trip. These are all the things I'm doing on the trip. I'm going to plan for the trip.
Yeah, and even though
makes me happy.
We end up ditching a lot of the plans once we get there.
Oh, yeah.
But even these are all the things I could do when I get there.
Yes, these are my options.
Oh, I love that.
I have choices.
It's true. It's fun. Anyway, so good luck, Kevin. Enjoy the run-up to and the actual trip in May.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly from Canada, longtime friend of the show. She said this is a donation for the Keep Being Awesome Fund.
Aw, thank
you.
That's
very kind of you.
It's very nice.
She's been working through our back catalog, and
I'm
she said in the past In the past year, she's made it. So far, she's made it through halfway through the shows from 2012. So she still has a way to go. But just wanted to tell us that we are. She said we are the best entertainment out there.
Oh, that's very sweet. Thank you.
That's very kind.
And thank you for listening to our previous stuff.
Yep. And finally, Dermot with a karma donation for a trip beginning this very day.
Ooh, thank you. Said, good luck.
Yeah, good luck to you. We appreciate it. And while listening to our 10th anniversary show, he was trying to remember when and how he discovered the show. And then I had mentioned that, or actually, it would have been after our 10th anniversary show that I mentioned this, because I think there was a question about it from one of our listeners maybe a week or two ago, but about early on in the show, the show's history, how we built an audience. And one of the things I mentioned was Adam Curry mentioned it on the Daily Source Code podcast. And he said, as soon as I said that, that's where it clicked. That's where he first heard about us.
Aww.
So that's cool. And we've outlived Daily Source Code by several years. That show is long gone. Oh, Adam Curry has another show now. Say,
Adam Curry's still way more successful.
He's got a huge, he's got a huge, I haven't listened to his current show, but I think it's kind of a, I think there's a lot of like conspiracy theories on there and stuff. And I have a short attention span for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you, Dermot. We do appreciate it. We wish you luck during your trip, and we appreciate all the support from our many, many PayPal donators or donors or whatever you want to say. Thank you to everybody for supporting the show in whatever fashion you see fit. Mm-hmm. We appreciate you spreading the word and telling friends who might be interested in Vegas and who might like the show. That's how a lot of people find the show now, is through word of mouth. So thank you so much. We appreciate that. As always, our website is 500bymidnight.com. You can email us if you have Dear Tim and Michelle questions, 500@gmail.com. We are both on Twitter. I am 500. She is Anita Martini. And of course, our voicemail line available to you anytime, day or night, in Vegas or elsewhere, sober, drunk, passed out. Well, if you're passed out, you wouldn't be able to dial the phone.
No.
In whatever condition you might see fit to call us. 702-866-9494 is the voicemail line. Thank you, as always, for listening, emailing, commenting, and calling. We do appreciate it, and we will be back soon with another show.
Bye-bye.
Bye.